less nervous. Also, apparently, if you imagine the crowd in their underwear, that makes you less nervous. It's not working for me. I've got to be honest, that's not working for me. Like, I'll just stick with this, all right? Okay. I'm just doing 10 or 15 minutes. Oh, we got announcements. We'll just quickly do the announcements. Ladies meeting, 6th of April, 10 a.m. When's that? 2 days. Ladies, you're going to Kingsway Bar and Beer, 211 Kingsway Road in Darch. You pay for yourself when you're up there. Have a great time with ladies. Do I have to RSVP to anyone? Karen? Mum? RSVP to them. And next, in 2 Sundays' time, we are going to be doing missions offering, which goes to support Kate and the work she's doing in Thailand. Is that it? End of notices. All right. I should pray. Lord, thank you for the sacrifice that you made specifically on this day, Easter, or on Good Friday, 2021 years ago. I thank you, God, that you showed us how to live, you showed us how to die. I pray that you you help today, that the words that I speak will be of you. I pray that the seed that is thrown out is going to good soil and that it's watered. I pray that we have ears to hear and that we can be more and more like you. In Jesus' name. All right, so tomorrow, 2021 years ago, Jesus rises again. Biggest miracle of all time. And, sorry, I can't hear you. I can just see the fan. I'm sure it was awesome though. So 2021 years ago, Jesus rises again tomorrow. 30 years he was alive, 3 years he's in history, they call it. He dies, goes to heaven, defeats sin, so we can have eternal life, but also so we can have the Holy Spirit with us, living a good life while we're alive. I don't know about you, but if I adjust to life, I'm doing a little bit of a victory lap, right? I'm talking to people, I'm going, did you see me up there? Like, that was me, right? Jesus was single. It would be a pretty good pickup line. Did you see me up there? That was me, Jesus. But Jesus didn't do that because Jesus is obviously a far better person than me. But he was alive for 40 days after he died. We're talking about 1 day of that 40. That's what we're about. I've done notes today, guys. You should be really impressed. My notes are called cheat sheet. Has anyone ever done a test or had to read a book? You've all been to school. Some of you are still in school. You have to read a book. It's a massive book. And you're like, yep, I'm going to get onto that book. But it's a massive book. And you're a boy, so you don't like reading. And you're a girl that you kind of like reading, but it's a big book. And you realize it's time you've got a test on that massive book. So what you do is you Google everything that happened in that book. One page summary of that book. Or like when dad's preaching and you're sitting there and you got distracted on your phone. And you get distracted and he says, all right, and just summing up. And you go, whoa, he's already summing up. I better listen to this last little bit so I can understand what he's been talking about the last half hour. So that's what I'm doing with you. I feel like Jesus, when he was on earth, that 40 days, he did his cheat sheet for us. So we're going to go through a little bit of a one-page summary of Jesus' cheat sheet, all right? So before Easter, before he died, he's around for 3 years. He's telling his disciples, he's telling his followers, he's predicting what's going to happen. Most of us here know the story. He's told them at least 3 times that the Son of Man is going to die and he's going to rise again in 3 days' time. Surprise, surprise. What Jesus says happens. He dies. He rises again. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are there coming up to the tomb and he's not there. They're surprised. They've heard it all before. They know that everything he says is going to happen. Yet, when they come to the tomb, he's not there. Well, he is there. He actually says to me, he's like, go tell my disciples to meet at Galilee. So they're like, wow, it actually happened. The disciples, they're gone. They're hiding. They don't want to get crucified, right? Being crucified would suck, so you can't actually blame them. But they go to Galilee. So they're at Galilee. Jesus, along the way, he's meeting some people, he's having bread, but no one really recognizes him until he's gone. So he gets to Galilee. This is the place Dad preached about last week, where he comes up to Simon and John and all that and says, cast your nets on the other side, you'll catch heaps of fish, and then follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So this happens again 3 years later. They're out there, they're hungry. They've gone back to the place where they first was because Mary Magdalene told them. And they're fishing. They're not catching anything. Then Jesus comes along. They don't know it's Jesus. And he goes, go put your nets on the right-hand side. So they go out. They put their nets on the right-hand side. They catch 153 fish. Life is when they realize, wait a second, this is Jesus. Right? They realize it was him because of his miracle. So after he gets their attention with the miracle, after he dying and rising again wasn't enough, but after he gets their attention, says to them, this is my cheat sheet. This is what I want you to do. Slide one. It's Matthew 28 if you're playing along. It says this, verse 18. Already in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And I am with you to the end of the age. So Jesus is here for 40 days before he ascends back to heaven after he's died. This is like the time where if someone's going to believe something you're saying, dying and rising up again is going to be the time where they'll actually listen to you, even more so than before. And Jesus uses that opportunity to tell his disciples, remind his disciples, this is the critical thing. This is what I need you to focus on. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, basically he's saying, go make disciples. Now, Cam, a fortnight ago, hi Cam, was preaching on destiny. How do we, what we're to do? What does Jesus want us all to do? What is our calling in life? And me, when I hear that, I think to myself, Ephesians 4, where we're all called to be pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists. And that's, I totally agree with that. But all of those things make us sort of think, well, what am I supposed to be doing? And it sort of, it stops us focusing on God's will for our life specifically, but it gives us a bit of a narrower. What I want to do today is just give us a little bit more of a broader focus. Have I stopped shaking yet? No? All right. The good thing about this is it's called the Great Commission, not the Great Mission, not the Mission Impossible, go do this by yourself, you know, it will be in your ear. It's a commission. Jesus is saying, I'm here with you. You've got the Holy Spirit. We can do this together. But he needs you. The Holy Spirit can do it. Fantastic. You. All right? So cheat sheet step one. If I'm going to disciple someone, I want to know how Jesus did it, right? So how did Jesus make disciples? The first step was he won the lost. Each and every one of us, whether we're an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, or on our way to being one of those things, the whole crux of that, whether we're a welder, a nurse, a janitor, a pilot, the whole crux, all of us have the same end game, and that is to get people saved. The whole thing predicated on Christianity. Jesus wants us all. God wants us all to be living in the freedom that he gives us. He wants us all to be living in the victory that he gives us. So, if you've ever wondered, what have you got for me? Like, I know, like, this whole thing, what do you want me to do? He tells you in Matthew 28, go make disciples. Everything we do needs to point in that direction. The way we act, the way we talk, that's a big one for me, say some silly things. The way we discipline our kids, the way we talk to our wives, the way we react in situations at work. The whole point of this is to make disciples for Christ. Jesus prioritized it. Like, I see this scripture as basically Matthew ends on this. It's the end of the gospel. Basically, he's saying, go, make disciples. And then in a few days, he ascends back to heaven. This is like the finale. This is the saving us with. Guys, this is super important. What I don't want you to say, oh, okay, that's it. I'm quitting my job. That's it. I've been told by Ken at the front I need to just become a disciple. I'm just making disciples. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to talk to the people at lunch about football because that's, you know, that's a waste. I'm not going to do anything that brings me down to these humanistic levels. I have to make disciples. What I'm saying is that if we're running our lives like God wants us to run our lives, every single person that we come into contact with is going to see the way we're acting, the way we're living, and they're going to want to understand why our lives are different. And when we have relationship with, we pass that relationship on, we show the love of Christ, we show the way that, well, we should be showing, the way Jesus acts. And people are drawn to that. I mean, I was at the, this is not a float my boat story, so please don't interpret it like that. But since I've been thinking about this word, it's amazing how you get opportunities. And you guys are all going to have opportunities this week, unfortunately, because you're hearing my voice, where you're going to have an opportunity to do one of two things. Either talk about God or wish you had to talk to someone about God, right? So I'm at the gym and there's this guy. I've known him about 15 years ago. I haven't seen him in 15 years. Why did all of you guys look at me like, you went to the gym? You were shocked with, all right? So I went to the gym, super cute. And this guy, I saw him for the first time in 15 years. Hey, man, how you going? Yeah, good, mate, how are you? General chit-chat ensued. What have you been up to? Not much. Wife and kids, happy life, you know, blah, blah, blah. What have you been up to? Yeah, work this, work that. Great, great, great. Awesome. Good to see him. So the next day, he was like, hey, man, how you going? Yeah, good, mate, how are you? Yeah, yeah, not bad, not bad. Blah. This continued for about 3 weeks of the, hey, man, how are you? And then like 3 weeks down the track, I'm preparing this message, and he's just like, man, how come you're so stable? Whenever I come and ask you how you are, you're always, yeah, I'm good. You're just so, and he used the word, a swear word, and then stable. Why are you so, I said, mate, life's good. Why would I, you know, what's to be whinging about? I'm happy. Oh, yeah, but, and he knows, and I know he's not a Christian. And he's like, his words, dead set. I said, oh, hey, he goes, yeah, I need to get back into church. That's him, right? So that wasn't me saying to him, hey, Ashley, how you going? You need to stop doing that. You're going to hell. Jesus loves you, but you need to change your life around. Some people do that. Some people get a response out of that. Fantastic. I was there just being my normal self, but having a little bit of pep in my step, having a little bit of light me, and it actually drew him in, and he understood. I didn't know I was being stable. I was just being myself. I don't think I'm unstable, but I was just being myself, and that was something that, because he obviously recognized in his life there's a little bit of instability, and he was drawn to that. Basically, Colossians 4 puts it really well. It says, walk in them toward those outside, redeeming your time, speak with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer. So I feel like sometimes Christians come to church and they're, yep, super happy, super, super Christian, right? And then at work, they're worker gym, you know? They're just like every one of the other boys. When something bad happens, oh, this blah, 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 you know, miserable, yeah. And then when something good happens, they're like, you know? But what this verse says is, it says, redeem your time, speak with grace and salt. Now, salt in the olden days was talking about preserving things, you know, maintaining life. And that's one of us should be speaking daily about. All of our conversation should be talking about life, being uplifting, edifying, exhorting. Do you know what I mean? No one wants to hang around with someone that's miserable. True? Yes to that, but it's true. Cheat sheet number two. So step one, Jesus made disciples by winning the lost. He prioritized it. He made it the most important thing. We need to make it the most important. Cheat sheet step number two, grow and equip believers. I've got a scripture here for you people that are Bible people. As you therefore have received Jesus, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, churches are awesome at making better Christians, right? That's what churches just focus on. I'm in management in my company, right? And we know this. We've got this rule that it's 11 times harder to get a new client than it is to maintain an old client. It's 11 times more expensive to get an old client, sorry, to get a new client than maintain an old client. That's why a lot of churches are just, well, if we just get Christians, that's pretty easy because they already know about the 10% rule. They're going to be tithing straight off the bat. And they already know that we sing two songs and we sing two slow songs at the end, and that's a win. They already know that, like, we'll look after their kids at creche, and they've already got it down pat. So we don't. Let's just get the Christians, because it's easier to make Christians and get them to help with stuff than it is to get new Christians, right? But that can't be the attitude. We need to focus on, yes, growing our believers, but we only want to grow our believers so that they can win more people to Christ. That's the aim. There's no point being super spiritual within this building, and then as soon as we step outside, we keep it to ourselves. Thanks, Mum. Step three. All right. How did Jesus disciple? Step three, do as I do and repeat. This is the last step. I told you, I was only told to speak for 15 minutes. I think I've been 12. 20 verse 21 says, as my Father sent me, I will send you. Jesus came to earth. The whole time he had a mission. His mission was to live amazingly, to draw people into God, to build them up, and then to die. Now, he reiterated that mission. That mission was given to the disciples in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. And then it was given to us in the Bible from Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Now, you probably won't believe they actually really like food, right? So this is the analogy that I thought of. I'm at a deli counter. You know when you go and you get the little ticket, 54. You've got your ticket, 54. And you're looking at the deli counter and you're just going to buy prawns, continental roll, beef roll, right? And you're thinking, I'm going to get three of them, two of them, six of them. And then this guy walks up, he's in a suit, and he stands right, actually he stands beside you, and he hasn't got a ticket. And you notice, but you don't say anything because he's wearing a suit. Anyway, that's all right, that's a bit weird. You go back, two meat pies, six steaks. Then a girl walks up, and she has got together. She is what you would say, very good looking. And you know, she doesn't have a ticket, but chances are, us good looking people, we don't need tickets, right, Paul? So she doesn't. You don't say anything. You're in the front row. It's so nice to see you in the front row. Anyway, so she hasn't got a ticket. He hasn't got. And then someone in a wheelchair, John in the wheelchair, rocks up, and he rolls straight over your foot. And you know he can't get. And you're thinking, I've got two options here. I can tell these people about this ticket system, but you've got your ticket, so does it actually matter? You see, the guy in the suit, he's got it all together. He looks like he's loaded. He's got a fetch. He's got shiny shoes. He doesn't need Jesus. I won't tell him. The hot chick, she sure as heck doesn't need Jesus. She hasn't paid a bill in her life. I won't tell her. And that bloke that rolled over my foot, I don't want that guy in heaven anyway. He didn't even say sorry, right? You're keeping this ticket to yourself. The problem is we're not supposed to. We're supposed to tell people about the ticket. We've got the ticket. That's fantastic. That's amazing. You can't eat all that stuff in there. The ticket, the counter is heaven, right? With the cold meats, it's heaven, right? Now, obviously, yeah, I talked about the excuses we make. What we need to do, and this is the critical bit, we need to stop thinking about ourselves. Stop remembering that we are sweet. We're going to heaven. We have to start getting out of our own mindset and thinking more kingdom mentality. Our church slogan is, love God, love Jesus, love yourself. I think, is that in that order? Love yourself. Oh, okay. Love God, love people, love yourself. The love yourself is at the end, all right? We need to focus on loving others, inviting them, telling them, hey, mate, you need to get a ticket. We get the ticket, access to the goods in the deli container. Jesus, the whole point of Easter, the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross, although we always get told Jesus would have died just for you, and I totally believe it, the thing is he didn't, for every single one of us, inside and out, okay? So although we are told, it's almost like a bit selfish, Jesus died just for you, and he did. What I'm saying is he died for you, 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 all the yous, yeah? All right, guys, I'm now doing the summary of my summary, the cheat sheet of my cheat sheet. Step one, win the lost. Step two, go and make equip believers, grow and equip believers, and then send out people that are just like you, that are doing exactly the same. Don't be selfish. I wrote this down in pink just afterwards because I thought, don't be with Jesus' sacrifice. Yeah? Don't keep it to yourself. And then I'm talking to myself here, and that's the only reason why I'm preaching about this, because I need to learn from this. I've got a guy at work. He's 60 years old. He's a chain smoker. He's my supervisor, and I always have to take him with me. It's really hard because he's annoying. That's just the truth. He's super annoying, right? Has anyone got anyone annoying in their life? Mom, you're saying no, but everyone around you is doing this. If you've got someone annoying in your life, you're lucky, right? Because this guy, my guy Wayne at work, Wayne, I said his name, I shouldn't have said that. What happens? He listens to this when I'm famous. Super awkward. So Wayne has got cancer now, right? And the whole 5 years I've worked with him, he is a bona fide, Jesus is a nursery rhyme. Like, that's just what he believes. He thinks the whole, you know, Jesus dying on a cross, Jonah being in a whale and feeding 5,000 people with 3 sardines is a nursery rhyme. That's just what he believes. I've talked to him heaps of times. And he's just going, yeah, turn it up, mate. And the good thing about that is, not the good thing, scratch that. The terrible thing is he got cancer, right? He got cancer, which is terrible. But it gave me an opportunity. You know what, Wayne? I'm going to pray for you. And he actually didn't swear at me. He just went, thanks, mate. So in his lowest ebb, he at least accepted that I was going to pray for him. And you know, he got healed from his cancer. It was from medicine, he believes, and I believe it was from my prayer. Either. Let's call it splits. The thing is, he got healed, and now, when I talk to him about it, I can say to him, remember that time I prayed? Oh, Ken, your prayer did nothing. I paid $20,000 for... Yeah, that's what you think. But there's lots of people that are still sick. Now, don't be selfish with his sacrifice. All right, guys? I'm going to pray now, if you guys don't mind shutting your eyes. God, thank you that you died on the cross, but before that, you lived an amazing life. You showed us how to live. God, I thank you for the mission you gave us. You died when you said, go and preach the gospel and make disciples. I pray, God, that we're not selfish with the sacrifice you made and we use every opportunity. We don't use it idly and we speak with a little bit of salt. We speak and we speak encouragement so that we'll have opportunities to talk to people about the life that you have given up for us. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the significance of Resurrection Sunday. And I thank you so much that you're here. In Jesus' name, amen.